I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
New music, why not? What's good? Welcome to the Week in Review, the recap show here on Heritage Radio Network, where we try to distill the week's programming into a short, digestible podcast for you to kick your weekend off with. My name is Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here, and I'm joined by producer of the Week in Review and guest co-host, Sarah McKean. What's good, Sarah?
What's up?
It's nice to do this. So the theme song, I want to give a shout out to my boy Obesity. Nice okay. Little food reference in there. It's actually spelled like Obey City, two words. For the longest time, I called him Obey City, and then I learned it was Obesity. I'm like, whoa, that was crazy. So that was the theme song by Obesity, who is with Astronautical Records and Lucky Me Records. That song is called Intrigue. And welcome to the Week in Review. As I mentioned here, we will be recapping tons of great stuff that's happened over the past week at Heritage Radio Network. And the way we like to kick off the show is with a last great bite. And Sarah, I'll kick this off because I haven't had the best week of eating. It's been rough.
Yeah.
Been busy.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So I'm going to share a little bit of a hack that I use
okay.
when I'm not eating so well. So I got some takeout Chinese that was really not very good. And to kind of spice things up, I bought a bunch of red peppercorns, like Szechuan peppercorns, mm-hmm. like the mouth-numbing kind of thing you get at Mission Chinese, you know?
Yeah.
So I just grind up a bunch of red Szechuan peppercorns and sprinkle it all over the takeout Chinese, and then all of a sudden it's more exciting. So that's not necessarily a great bite, but it's salvaging a not-so-great bite.
Right.
Yeah, that's mine this week.
Okay. We can run with that. Yeah, I mean, same boat. I wouldn't call it a great bite, but it's kind of one of my personal favorites. It's those, the four Indian restaurants that are in the East Village that are all...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like Panatu, Milone, I can't remember the other ones.
The Christmas light place?
Yeah, so they're all, like, they're competing for people walking down the sidewalk. And last night I went there, we went to Milone, which is, like, the top left. Apparently it's the best one. I have no idea. I think it's all the same kitchen. But it's BYOB. So we're like, all right, like, let's do this. And it wasn't bad.
I gotta tell you, one of my favorite restaurants in New York City is hidden there. So it's the top right. And
okay.
It's not an Indian restaurant. It's a Sri Lankan restaurant. It's called Sagiri. Totally independent. It has no Christmas lights. So there's that little quadrant there. And
yeah.
This place is just hiding on the top right. It is one of, if not the only, Sri Lankan restaurant in Manhattan. There's a lot of Sri Lankan in Staten Island. But I really, really, really recommend you try that next time.
Okay, yeah. I think ours was technically... I think they were from Bangladesh.
Mm.
I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, you'll see Sri Lankan's like totally different. It's so unique.
All right, I'll check it out.
Very spicy, so
okay.
Be careful.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll try to eat better next week. Maybe Erin had a really good meal.
Yeah, maybe she made up for it.
Yeah, maybe she made up for it and she can let us know next week.
Maybe
but anyway.
Maybe she's eating a good meal at the beach right now.
Probably. If I know Erin, she's definitely having a good meal right now to kick vacation off. Well, let's move away from our bad food week and into a good food radio week. We'll head to the studio and listen to some clips. So, Sarah, as you know, pretty exciting week here at the network.
Mm-hmm.
Major network television feature for us. CBS This Morning came and recorded a segment here at Roberta's with the Heritage Radio Network team. So, some primetime morning television placement for Heritage Radio Network. A
right.
super, super proud moment for everybody. And I figured we could kick off the week in review with a little clip of what you might have missed. And this is on their website, cbsnews.com. The article title is Podcasts Document America's Obsession with Food. Not a bad title. So let's listen to a tiny piece of this.
was your initial idea food, and then it sort of organically became this place to talk about political ideas as it pertains to food?
Well, I think, food is politics. When we looked outside in the media world, there were enough cookbooks to build a mountain taller than Mount Everest, but there wasn't anyone talking about, for instance, El Nino's effect on the wine harvest.
We're not trying to be a lifestyle network. Our hosts are really practitioners. They run restaurants. They run nonprofits. They are farmers. So there's no, degree of separation.
The past year was one of the best for podcast growth in more than a decade.
Yeah, that is Patrick Martins and Aaron Fairbanks doing the damn thing on morning TV.
Yeah.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting.
For sure.
Sometimes it takes national news a few years to catch up. It's okay.
Finally, CBS.
We forgive you.
Came all the way out to Bushwick.
You can still hang out at the party. You're still welcome. So definitely thanks to the entire team there at CBS. We are totally humbled and honored to have been featured. And Aaron and Patrick did a really, really great job repping the network well. So
for real.
Kudos to them. Moving along, the next clip we're going to play is from Inside School Food. Sarah, I know you really loved this clip. What are we about to listen to from Inside School Food?
So in this episode, Laura Stanley, the host of Inside School Food, talks about the community eligibility provision. And so that's what allows public schools to provide their students with free meals. And basically it's under review right now, so that it's 60% of schools qualify right now, and it's going to drop down to 40% so that certain kids in these schools aren't going to be able to get their free meals. And I think we mentioned this a couple of episodes ago. For many kids in certain areas of the country, basically everywhere, these are the only meals they're getting every day. So it's a huge issue. So Laura had Morris Lees. He's the superintendent of Coffee County School District in Douglas, Georgia, and the clip is him talking about the stigma of school lunch.
Awesome. So let's take a little listen into the show.
And we had my middle school, one of the counselors at the middle school said that under the old system that students were somewhat stigmatized by other students, and that she described how now under the new system that she's got students who are coming to the cafeteria who weren't eating before. They just wouldn't eat. And they were, and for whatever reason, they just didn't feel good about going through that line and getting that free meal and all their peers knowing they're free students. So they would just not eat.
Right.
I have to say, I do have personal experience with that. I was a free lunch kid, and I can relate. Definitely, you do stand out. I remember, I don't know if it's the same now, but there was a list. It wasn't just you flashed a card covertly or something. You'd have to be I'm on the free lunch list. And they'd be let me look for your name. Oh, there you are. You're on the free lunch list.
Right. Yeah.
So that's real. And totally. And a very interesting topic to explore. I really love Laura's show. It is, what a resource for both educators, parents, and anybody who's interested in the way that we're feeding our kids in public schools. So
for sure.
Definitely tune into her show and the rest of that episode. I love his voice. such a good interview.
He's also from Coffee County.
I know,
which
right?
That threw me off when I first read that.
Pretty rad.
Yeah.
So awesome. Definitely check that out if you're interested in more school food stuff. Closing out the studio clips this week, we have one of my favorite food personalities, the absolutely insane and brilliant Jim Leahy, who is a real bread guru. He is of Sullivan Street Bakery, and he's best known maybe for his no-knead bread. And as the name implies, it's a method that you do not need to knead the bread. So he has a book out now called My Bread, The Revolutionary No Work, No Knead Method. And he was a guest on Cooking Issues with Dave Arnold. So two really zany, brilliant food tech people in the same room at the same time. And we're going to play a little clip of Jim going off script, if you will, talking about salt percentage in baking. This was a listener question, and here is how Jim fielded that question.
And what's your normal salt percentage?
Breads, in general, that
we're used to eating anywhere from 1.5% to 2.5% sometimes.
Are you part of that more modern 2.5%?
I'm more a percent and a half. I'm not a one percenter, but I'm more in the 1.5%. I like to taste the grain.
And were you a one percenter? Would you be a Wall Street one percenter or a motorcycle gang one percenter?
Well, I mean, it's here's the thing. It's really not the 1%. It's the 1/10. I'm gonna sound like Bernie Sanders now. It's the 1/10 of the 1% that control 48% of the wealth of our nation. And you didn't realize you're gonna have Bernie Sanders
impersonating. That's good. Can you also do the aardvark? Can you also do the aardvark from the aardvark cartoon? There's a caller. I don't want to miss a caller. You're on the air for Jim.
If you listen closely, you can hear us cackling in the back there. Cooking Issues is really second to none. So much fun, and every time you just learn so many things.
Totally.
Yeah, and
it flies by.
It does. It flies by, and it's even more fun when Dave has a guest because it kind of shakes things up a little bit.
Yeah,
so check that out. And Jim Leahy, still doing the damn thing after all these years. Love that guy. So that's it for the studio this week. Of course, there's tons more to explore. HeritageRadioNetwork.org for all of our programming. But we are going to transition into a very, very, very interesting edition of The Breakdown. We'll be right back. Right, you know what that sound means. It's time for The Breakdown, and Breakdown is exactly what we're about to do today. We're going to break down some myths. I am super, super, super excited to be joined in studio by a guest, which is rare for this segment. We do a lot of phone interviews. We have Kaylee Rogers, who is a staff writer at Motherboard, covering, she says, vaping.
Yes.
First category, conversation, agriculture, and global health. That's quite the gamut of stuff to be covering at Motherboard, which, of course, is a outlet of Vices. The technology site, I suppose, right?
Yeah, science and tech.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming here today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, as I kind of alluded to, we are going to break down some myths based on a really awesome recent article. I believe it came out last week at Motherboard that Kaylee wrote. It's called Probiotics Are Useless, GMOs Are Fine, and Gluten Is Necessary, which is one of those wonderfully... I don't want to call it clickbait, but it's pretty like, you know what you're getting with that headline.
Yeah, yeah, for
and
sure.
You certainly back it up. Those are some bold claims, of course. Obviously, plenty of talk in the food world about GMOs. We cover it quite a bit here at Heritage Radio Network with labeling and health concerns, and there's a lot to unpack here. Did I get that kind of right, the overview of the article there?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, the headline, you know, the nature of headlines is it's got to be a little condensed.
Yes.
I would say there's some asterisks next to those claims, but if you actually read the article, you should be able to get a breakdown of what I was trying to say.
Certainly. So as you kind of mentioned here in this article, there are some studies coming out that are negating some of the claims that people have made about GMOs, about gluten-free diets, and about probiotics. So I'm kind of curious off the bat, what makes these studies any different than some of the studies that would suggest the opposite?
I mean, when you're looking at scientific studies, you need to consider a lot of different factors, and one thing is studies that are comprehensive, doing sort of surveys or looking back at other studies that have been done and comparing them, comparative analysis. That's a helpful way of kind of getting a gauge on what the science is actually telling us, because one study to the next, as you know, can say totally different things, especially when it comes to nutrition. Another good thing is looking at where it's coming from. The GMO study was actually a really huge, hefty report that came out from the National Academy of Science. So this is not some random little journal that you've never heard of and some questionable institute doing studies. This is, you know, a legitimate group of scientists that are telling us GMOs don't pose any kind of health threat. You know, there's a lot of other issues to do with GMOs, as you know.
Right.
But when it comes to health and consuming them, they couldn't really find any evidence.
So what they mean is, like, inherently, in and of themselves, GMOs are not in of like they're not themselves to cause any problems, I guess.
Yeah, they're not a health risk. You don't have to worry about eating them and getting sick or something like that. There's, you know, people out there that would claim that eating GMOs are going to cause cancer or any other list of things. So it's important to kind of get that context. Like I said, there's a lot of other things that maybe are problematic with GMOs. It might be reasons why you wouldn't want to choose to support them. But if it's coming down to health, then you need to look at the science, and this is what it's telling us.
For sure. At least now. I mean, because I think what's interesting here is sort of the contradictory nature of nutrition, right? And reporting on nutrition, because salt is bad, salt is good, fat is bad, fat is good. So, I mean, like, would it surprise you to see a study that contradicts this in a few years? And, like, is that just kind of part of the gig and part of the beat with covering this stuff?
Definitely. And that's why it's good to look at comprehensive sort of the what we're building up once you get a number of studies and someone goes back and looks at them and reviews them, or, you know, you have 20 years of evidence looking at something rather than the sort of week-to-week studies that come out that go back and forth.
Totally. And I mean, like, what else about nutrition makes it kind of, like, more difficult to pin down than other sciences?
It's difficult because we still don't really have a good way of measuring how one particular thing that you're putting in your body or not putting in your body is having an effect on your overall health or how you're feeling. You know, so much of this is subjective. And it's difficult to sort of make those measurements unless you're looking at one specific thing. So even the probiotics thing, you know, they have shown that probiotics can be beneficial if you're taking a round of antibiotics, for example, because that kind of wipes out the bacteria in your gut.
And the lactobacillus pills or whatever.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's Harvard studies that show that that's a good thing. It's helpful, beneficial to do that. But, you know, this one that we were looking at here was specifically looking at if you're a healthy person, you've got nothing else wrong, and you're just taking these probiotic supplements because you think they're supposed to be good. They literally looked at fecal matter and the bacterial count and found that it's no different than if you weren't taking them.
And you said you got some flack from people after writing this article in the probiotic community.
They were especially vocal. I think people, you know, they look at their own experience, and that's going to hold more weight for them than anything they're going to read. And I had people giving me all kinds of claims saying probiotics cured my autoimmune disease, probiotics saved my mother's life, all kinds of things, which, again, you know, I was talking about healthy individuals, not sick individuals, which is a whole different category. And it's just hard to take some anecdotal claim that you're telling me and feel like I've done something wrong by reporting on a science finding.
Why is it, though, I mean, in today's world that so many people kind of, like, take it on themselves to start elimination diets, and then they will, you know, like I said, they'll have stomach aches or feel fatigue, and then they stop eating bread, and they're like, well, that was it. It was gluten. Why that phenomenon now? Is it because there are so many blog posts and articles online that are just easy to find by Googling your symptoms? Like, where does it come from?
There is a big market. A lot of people are making money off of sort of playing off these fears and offering the sort of magic bullet solution. Every, you know, as I mentioned in the article, I talked to Dr. Yoni Friedhoff, who was explaining, you know, this is a problem among a very specific group of privileged individuals who have nothing better to do but worry about if they're eating too much gluten. You know, the average American is just trying to eat as healthy as they can while still being able to pay the bills.
Yeah,
and
or
maybe,
eat, period.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, just feed their kids. So this is, you know, a specific problem and a concern of a very small population. But within that population, people want to feel like they have the secret, right? The secret to feeling younger, feeling better, living longer. And the science that we do have points to things that are not very exciting or magical. You know, it's the same stuff you've heard your whole life about eating a balanced diet and drinking water and going easy on, you know, deep fried food. It's pretty basic stuff, but people want something else. They want to feel like they have the secret that nobody else has.
So how do you stop that from falling on deaf ears? You know,
it's difficult. It takes a lot of time. And because people are so much more influenced by their own personal experience, you know, like, as you say, if you stop eating bread and you feel better, it's not completely ridiculous to make a connection in your head. Like, oh, the bread was making me feel bad. That's sort of how, you know, anti-vaxxers end up going down the road they go down. You know, their kid gets a shot and the next day or a few weeks later, they're diagnosed with autism. They make connections. You make connections. That's the way our brain is wired, to find these patterns. So it's difficult to convince people. I think the best we can do is just, you know, look at the science, report it as factually as possible. And hopefully people that are maybe on the fence will be able to see the facts in front of them.
Right. And maybe not fall for some of the, like, bait advertising and product sales that I think comes from this with a lot of the gluten-free stickers or all that stuff. Because there's a whole industry that preys on this mm-hmm. phenomenon, kind of.
Yeah, and gluten is especially one, if you don't have a medical reason to eliminate gluten from your diet, it can cause problems. You're eating products that are, you know, manufactured in a way to try and get around gluten and still taste like they are made with wheat, and so it's using a lot of rice and all kinds of other ingredients that maybe you just don't need if you would just eat it.
So potentially more risk in taking in an unnecessary gluten-free diet.
Exactly,
than you would have just eating gluten. It's so interesting. I thought one of the other interesting things in the article is you mentioned that kale still remains a superfood.
Yeah, I mean, superfood's kind of a buzzy word that means nothing, really. But if you look at the benefits and the nutrition of kale, it's a pretty decent, it's a good, green leafy vegetable that you can include in your diet. You don't have to feel like you're falling on some kind of fad. Although, I found the price of kale has gone up a lot since it became kind of a trendy food. And there's a lot of other great, rich, dark leafy greens that are just as good as kale that you can swap if you don't want to pay the kale prices,
such as like
chard. Yeah, collard greens are really good for you. Even spinach, you know, lowly spinach is a great vegetable to include in your diet.
Another thing I wanted to bring up, this actually came from Pierre, the producer of this segment, talking about the gut as it's been called kind of the organ of the future. Do you think the gut might not be all it's cracked up to be, given some of these probiotic reports and findings that we're seeing here?
I think there's a lot of interesting research going on with the sort of, you know, they call it the microbiome and sort of how bacteria in our body interacting. For a long time, we believed that sanitation was key. You know, all bacteria was bad, and we had to get rid of it as much and as thoroughly as possible. And, you know, we've since learned that that's not the case. Of course, there is good bacteria, and our body needs it and lives and survives with it. So we're learning a lot more about that. And I think that it's fair to say that there will be changes and things that we can improve in our diets and the way we live our lives that we gain from that understanding. At the same time, though, I think we have to give our body more of a benefit of the doubt. You know, we have these good bacteria already in our gut. If you're a healthy individual, you don't need to add anything in. Your gut's doing fine. It's got it. It's mm-hmm. got, you know, your whole digestive system is working the way it's supposed to, and you don't necessarily need to take a little extra pill or something to give it a boost.
Right. Absolutely. And then the other thing here is kind of thinking about the fact that, you know, in a recent Times poll, 3/4 of Americans had expressed concern about GMOs, and most of those concerns tied to health risks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think this is maybe an opportunity to change the tide on that and maybe do a little bit more education and reporting on other reasons to be concerned with GMOs. How do you kind of like make that shift happen?
I mean, just changing the kinds of reporting we're doing, I guess, is a helpful thing. I'd hate for people to be like, I just don't want to eat GMOs and I need a reason to not consume them and not purchase them. And there's, you know, concerns with forcing farmers to not be able to use GMOs and having to use more pesticides and things. You know, you got to consider the alternatives with this. But obviously, GMOs, Monsanto, and seed patents is a whole other hornet's nest of problems that people should probably be more educated about rather than sort of blindly just fearing, like, I don't want, you know, genetic modification sounds scary to me, so I don't like it. They should be paying more attention to what's actually happening to farmers in this country.
Right. No, absolutely. I think it's a good time to kind of shift the conversation in that space. Well, to leave listeners on a little bit of a positive note, I know you said drink water, eat a healthy, balanced diet. Are there any other kind of hard truths we can rely on as far as nutrition goes?
I think, me personally, the more I read about this stuff, the more I kind of find that everything in moderation is okay. You know, people try to eliminate one thing or another from their diet. It often fails for one reason or another. You know, it's just too hard to resist something, or it doesn't give you the benefits that you think you want. So just use common sense and try and eat as healthy as you are able to and you can afford to. And don't freak out if you, you know, have a slice of pizza once in a while.
Absolutely. As we sit here at Roberta's, maybe.
Yeah, I was a little inspired.
pointed propaganda here. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us for this segment. And listeners, I definitely encourage you to check out that article on Motherboard and all of Kelly's work. I'm especially interested in reading what you have to say about vaping. That's, yeah.
It's a really fascinating field.
Isn't
right
it?
Now.
It's a weird, weird thing.
Yeah.
Excited to see kind of what you've been reporting on in that space.
There's a lot. There's a lot, especially in the U.S. We've got new regulations coming and, the whole thing's going to change.
Wow. Yeah, watch out. Awesome, Kelly. Well, thank you so, so much. Again, it's Kelly Rogers, and you can find her work at Motherboard. That's it for the breakdown. We will be right back on the Week in Review with some big ups to close the show. Stay tuned. I got to say, Sarah, I did have like a 15-20 minute conversation with her about vaping after that interview, and it was indeed a fascinating conversation.
So is she constantly reporting on that, or is that just like...
This is like a focus of hers right now.
And what is she saying?
You know, you'll have to read, but the kind of the cliff notes were vaping is safer than I thought it was.
Huh.
Because my concern has always been like, well, what if in 20 years, then they're like, well, it causes cancer in all these other ways. But yeah. She said that a lot of the studies now point to vaping being actually much safer. And there's a lot to unpack there. But that was a fun segment. Really enjoyed having her in.
Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating.
Right. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, let's as I said there, close the show with some big ups. Okay, I have to play it straight with my big ups this week, Sarah. Big ups to Ralph, the HVAC guy, for installing a new air conditioning unit.
You know, he deserves it.
He really deserves it. I'm sitting here, I'm freezing. I'm cold.
I'm very cold.
It's wonderful. I love it. We were sweating all week. The AC... bless its soul, has finally broke down. One of the last remnants of the DIY origins of this studio, literally held together by duct tape, and now we've got this new sparkly AC heating unit in the studio. So perfect, a selfish timing. Big ups, but yeah. I feel like Ralph really deserves
it. He totally does.
Thanks,
yeah.
Ralph.
He nailed it. Thanks, Ralph.
And how about you, Sarah?
You know, I'm going to big up the meat hook. As okay. You know, that's I also work there in addition to working here. And last night we had a going away party for one of our butchers who's moving to Madison. And so in traditional meat hook fashion, we went to Sing Sing. And that was,
ooh, yeah.
That was a time, let me tell you. Yeah, so big ups to the meat hook, everybody over there.
Great. Big ups to the meat hook. Big ups to all of you enjoying your Memorial Day weekend. It's I think we're officially allowed to wear shorts now. Is that how it goes?
Hell yeah.
But I'll still be wearing black jeans
every day
till I die. But for the rest of you, enjoy summer being officially kicked off. It's an exciting weekend here in New York. Great summer ahead of us. Thank you so much, Sarah, for filling in for Erin Fairbanks. No easy task. We miss her. We hope she's doing well on the beach.
Getting her tan on for sure.
Oh, yes. And we, of course, we'll hear from her again next week. In the meantime, if you enjoyed this program, please share it with your friends. Write us, tweet us, Heritage_Radio, Heritage Radio Network. It's 2016. You can find us. It's not difficult. Get in touch. Let us know what you think. And we'll see you next week. Bye. Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.